Money and knowledge make a powerful combination. And in today's world, we have access to both. Ambition delivers financial rewards, and the World Wide Web has opened the door to more knowledge than ever before. Today on Insight for Living, Chuck Swindoll is teaching from Matthew chapter 11. In this passage, we see Jesus taking off the gloves, if you will, and delivering a harsh rebuke to those who had become proud of their privileged state. His audience was drowning in the truth, but failing to employ it. Chuck titled today's message, When Jesus Turned Up the Heat.
In spite of the fact that Jesus had done the work of Messiah and had spoken the words of Messiah, they wanted nothing to do with it. So his people who are listening are for the most part unbelievers. And as I read the verses before us, I get the feeling that Jesus takes off the gloves and turns up the heat. He says in verse 12, from the time John the Baptizer began preaching until now, the kingdom of heaven, I believe it could be read, has suffered from violence by violent people. It has not been well received. It has not been embraced. There are those who have viciously attacked the message and want nothing to do with it. And before John came, all the prophets and the law of Moses looked forward to this present time. They had spoken of it. They had written about it. And now that we find ourselves in the here and now, you want nothing to do with it. And if you're willing to accept what I say, he is Elijah, meaning he speaks as one like unto Elijah, the one the prophet said would come. Anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand. In other words, you will need to have the same kind of forceful devotion to follow the teaching that the majority of you in your own vicious and forceful way are rejecting the message and denying what I am offering. It's a deeply emotional and passionate word of warning. In fact, he says in so many ways, all who hear these words must heed them. Please observe that there is sort of a game played, and he refers to them as that. Look at verse 16. To what can I compare this generation? You're like children playing a game in the public square, complaining to their friends. We played wedding songs and you didn't dance. We played funeral songs and you didn't mourn. It's clearly a slam against the baptizer and the Messiah. You want us to play your games and we won't. And because we don't, look at what they did next. They called him names. Verse 18, John didn't spend his time eating and drinking, so you gave him a name. He's a demoniac. He's weird. Must be a demon. Because they would not heed his message, he told them the truth about what they faced. And he isn't through. He hasn't finished. Beginning at verse 20, he begins to denounce towns that had seen a lot of him and watched him work and heard him teach and witnessed his miracles. He names them for us. Look at what the verse says. Jesus began to denounce the towns where he had done so many of his miracles, because they hadn't repented of their sins and turned to God. Look up at the top of the Sea of Galilee. You will find Chorazin. You will find Bethsaida. And you will find Capernaum. You see them? See them? He's talking about those three towns. Now, why? Because this was the area where Jesus spent much of his time and performed many of his miracles. And here's a classic case in point. Not a word is said of what he did in Chorazin or the works he carried out in Bethsaida. But they knew, because some of these people were from there. Why the words of sorrowful anguish? Because they didn't care. It's a statement regarding their indifference and their passivity. How visible and how significant was Jesus' work among them? Look at what he says. If the miracles I did in you, this is verse 21, if the miracles I did in you, that is in your city, had been done in wicked Tyre and Sidon, which epitomized pagan, Gentile corruption and a life of worthlessness, seacoast cities, if I'd done my work in Tyre and Sidon as I've done it here, the people would have repented of their sins long ago, clothing themselves in burlap and throwing ashes on their head. All a colloquialism for abject humility. I'll tell you, Tyre and Sidon will be better off on Judgment Day than you, Chorazin, Bethsaida, and Capernaum. And you people of Capernaum, will you be honored in heaven? No, no. So proud of your seacoast town, talking about the beautiful view you have of the sea, the lovely flowers you're growing, the hillside. No, you'll be no better off. If the miracles I did for you had been done in wicked Sodom, he goes even further than Tyre and Sidon, you would still be here today. Tell you, even Sodom will be better off on Judgment Day than you. A couple of things stand out to me that I think are worth remembering, the kind of things we want to take home with us after a message like this. Here's the first. It's easy for people to forget the responsibilities of privilege. The greater your privilege, the greater your responsibility. The greater the truth, the more the truth, the more it must make a difference in how you live. But when you are privileged, it is easy to take it all for granted. I remember when my daddy would say on a special Sunday afternoon, we would do this for special activity. He said, let's all get in the car. We're going to drive to River Oaks. If you don't know, that's where the elite meet to eat and live. And my dad would say, as we would get close, he said, you know, this is where there's old money. And I kept looking for old money. Where is the old money? They just want new. I'll take the old. And I kept looking for it. And we'd pull up in front of these beautiful homes and we'd stop and say, look, children, the three of us in the back seat looking around. He said, they have two bathrooms. I remember thinking, why? Do you do one in one and something else in another? I mean, is it? And he said, and they have wall-to-wall carpet. And I said, what's carpet? But when you're privileged, it all deadens you if you're not careful. May I make the leap? Today we're all privileged. The home you live in and I live in, my granddad would have loved to have lived in a home like that. So would my folks. It's incredible how in the middle of where we find ourselves, we take so much for granted. What a privilege to have God's word taught, believed, more importantly, obeyed, so that we pack meals for starving children, or we visit in our community to those who are in great need and can't come, or we take our music elsewhere and lift hearts that are heavy. Let's never, ever forget outside these walls is a lonely, privileged community. With great privilege comes great responsibility. I don't say this to shame any of us. I'm grateful for all that we have, and we have so much. But how important to say rather regularly, Lord, keep my focus on things eternal. Guard me from gripping things temporal. Help me to still hear the words of Jesus and to still imagine what it was like when he did the work of Messiah and performed those miracles. Miracles in Bethsaida and Chorazin and Capernaum yawned. Oisoi! Woe to you! Woe to you! You're walking knee-deep in it. The truth is all around you with a message that can transform your life. And you wonder what's for lunch or when you're going to get your next raise. People forget their responsibilities when they're privileged. Here's a second. Something tragic happens to those who are indifferent when surrounded by great opportunities. Passivity is an enemy. You become passive, don't answer out loud. You remember what was said from this pulpit just 1 week ago? Can you go back and pull from your notes something said regarding Matthew chapter 4? Or from one of the other passages we've dealt with or lives? God reveals the truth. At the same time, notice he also hides it. Look at the unusual, insightful prayer. Right in the midst of his presentation, Jesus prays. O Father, verse 25, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, thank you for hiding these things. Look at that. Thank you for hiding these things from those who think they're wise and clever. It's not a put down on the intelligent. Of course not. He never does that. It's those who think they're all knowing. Thank you for hiding it from them, but for revealing it to those who are childlike. Not childish, but childlike. What's that? Teachable. Anxious to learn. Sitting on the edge of their seat, drinking it in. Yes, Father, it pleased you to do it this way. I love that. I have to say that you are among the most responsive gathering I've ever preached to, and I can't thank you enough. It means you're listening. It means you're taking it in. You're thinking about it. Maybe making plans to do something because of it. How grateful I am for that. It means you're childlike, teachable, open, ready to hear. But those who are sophisticated yawn. Perfunctory spirit, business as usual. What's going on tomorrow? Who's playing in that game? Who will we be with next weekend? This is a privilege beyond measure, and it may not be ours forever. You and I may live to see the day when this service is interrupted and the terrorists arrive. Serious, serious stuff. And I might as well say it since I'm responsible to tell the truth. Hearing it and even liking it means nothing in light of eternity. You must believe this. Let me say it straight. If you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you will not go to heaven when you die. Listen to this. Don't wait for another message. Don't put it off until you feel better. Don't think there'll be a better time. You may not have a better time. So today, as you are alive and you're able to hear, heed this truth. Be different from those who listen, pass it off, and come back for another feeding. Make sure you know Jesus Christ. Came across this story in my reading this week that puts it very well. Listen carefully. The preacher pounded on the pulpit and looked over at the casket and said, "It's too late for Joe. He might have wanted to get his life together. He might have wanted to spend more time with his family. He might have wanted to do that, even believe in Jesus, but he's dead now. It's too late for Joe. But it's not too late for you. There's still time for you. You can still decide. You're still alive. Today is the day of decision for you." Then he went further. He told how a Greyhound bus several weeks ago had run into a funeral procession once on the way to the cemetery. And he said that could happen today in our funeral procession. So you should decide today, now. Today is the day to decide and get your life together. Too late for old Joe, but it's not too late for you. Husband and wife left, got in their car, too offended to go on further to the burial site. And on the way home, he said to his wife, "You ever seen anything as manipulative and as insensitive to that poor family? I found that disgusting." She said, "Well, I have to admit, I've never heard anything like it either. It was a little manipulative, and it was a little disgusting and insensitive. But you know what bothers me most? It was true. It was all true. My commitment is to tell you the truth. I will do that to my last day. All I ask in return, more importantly, all the Lord expects in return, is that you give yourself to Jesus Christ. I mean you personally. Trust Him. Invite Him to invade, take up residence, and change your whole direction so that you become different than you have been all your previous years, and He will come and do that. Please bow with me. Just sit right there and be very still. Are you absolutely certain, without a doubt, without a question, that the Lord Jesus Christ lives in your life because you have trusted Him as your Savior? If you are not, your future is frightening. Not only will you know a restlessness and an uneasiness about carrying on through the days that you're living, hell awaits you. It need not be your destiny. Trust in the Lord Jesus. Turn to Him now. Believe in Him at this moment. Since you were really small, you remember, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they're weak, but he is strong. But I speak now to big ones. Unfortunately, you've gotten strong and independent, and you tend to go your own way. You dare not do that. I warn you. Trust in the Lord Jesus. He who has the Son, S-O-N, has the life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have the life. Trust in him. If we can help you in that journey from earth to heaven, that is why we are here. Not just to pack food for the hungry, not just to sing our songs to the needy, or to visit those who can't come to church. Our desire is to touch your life with the gospel of Jesus Christ and to have your life changed because you believe it. Come today. Believe today. Our Father, we find ourselves in an evangelical circle. And it is easy in this hothouse to become indifferent, to yawn our way through our lives, while bragging about a church we attend. It's possible to be living our lives without heaven as our destination. I pray that you would give a sense of restlessness and sleeplessness and uneasiness to those who have never trusted in Christ. Bring them by faith to your Son, Jesus, that he might begin a work of transformation, transferring their sin for his righteousness. Commit each one who is lost to you that they may come to Christ. In whose name I pray, and for his sake alone. Everyone said, Amen.
This is Insight for Living. And please keep listening, because we've set aside several minutes at the close of today's program to hear a final comment from Chuck. And to learn more about this ministry, please visit us online at insightworld.org. It's possible you've been listening to this message from Chuck Swindoll with a strong sense of personal conviction. Maybe you're dealing with the truth in a manner that's never occurred to you before, and you're ready to take your next steps toward Jesus. Well, you'll find a variety of free resources on our website designed to help you. Just go to insight.org. And then I'd like to point you to a resource that's been helpful to thousands of readers. I'm referring to Chuck's insightful book called Finding God When the World's on Fire. We're living in extraordinary times of uncertainty. In our lifetime, we've never witnessed this level of chaos, not only in regard to the culture wars, but a global pandemic that's changed the course of history. This convergence of tragedies has caused many people to live in fear. Well, in this book, Chuck reminds us that God knows about our plight. And not only that, but God has provided a way to conquer fear with courage and hope. It's the theme of this excellent book from our teacher called Finding God When the World's on Fire. And you can purchase a copy right now by going to insight.org/offer or by calling us. If you're listening in the U.S., dial 1-800-772-8888.
Okay, I'm not one for long spells of nostalgia, but sometimes reflecting on the past is entirely healthy. In fact, it's biblical. Looking back provides ample evidence of God's enduring faithfulness. And that's what this season does for Cynthia and me. On June 30th, Insight for Living closes the books on another financial year. But more important than that, The following day, July the 1st, we celebrate God's faithfulness to Insight for Living. He's been with us every step of the way, every week, every month of every year, surprising us beyond measure with twists and turns in the plot that he had planned for us. Every chapter in his book has been filled with evidence of his grace and his abundant provision. And what began as one man's voice, mine, has now multiplied many times over with resources and ministries we never dreamed about back in 1979. You've been part of our story, too. Think about that. You've been listening and many times investing in this ministry, and we're so grateful. And now, as we reach another milestone, can I call on you to express your gratitude to God, maybe for the first time, or maybe once again? All I need is for you to give a generous donation to Insight for Living. If this is a place where you draw spiritual strength, please make this an occasion to express your gratitude by giving, so that others can hear Insight for Living as you do. Thanks so much.
And let me explain how you can respond today. The quickest and most convenient way to give is to click on the Donate tab at insight.org. You can also speak with someone about giving a donation by calling us directly. If you're listening in the U.S., dial 1-800-772-8888 or go online to insight.org. Join us again tomorrow when Chuck Swindoll presents a comforting message about taking time to rest here on Insight for Living.
The preceding message, When Jesus Turned Up the Heat, was copyrighted in 2016 and 2021, and the sound recording was copyrighted in 2021 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide. Duplication of copyrighted material for commercial use is strictly prohibited.